WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 19th. Coming up, the federal government has dozens of definitions of rural, and sometimes small towns far from big cities get shut out of grant programs. We'll learn more from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Most school districts in Illinois say they don't have enough teachers, according to a new survey. Susie Ahn reports.
78% of school districts in the state completed a survey from the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools. And 88% said they have a teacher shortage problem, and many said it's getting worse. Even more districts said they don't have enough substitute teachers. While some superintendents said the pandemic led to teacher turnover, most did not agree the turnover was COVID-related. Districts reported that 17% of open positions remain unfilled or filled with a less qualified person. The association recommends, among other things, more investments in all parts of the teacher pipeline and making teacher prep programs more affordable. The Illinois State Board of Education plans to discuss the state's teacher shortage at its regular meeting today. I'm Susie Ahn.
After a Department of Children and Family Services caseworker was killed last month during a home visit near Springfield, a supervisor with the agency says employees need more training on how to deal with difficult situations. Deidre Silas was checking on six children at the home when she was stabbed to death. Police have charged a man who lived at the home with her murder. Speaking on the 21st show, Arnold Black, a DCFS supervisor in Champaign, says caseworkers need more training and better equipment when going into uncertain situations.
Maybe the use of mace for those who use mace and get trained in it. Body suits that you can wear that can stop the possibility of somebody trying to attack you.
Black says caseworkers should also receive training from the Illinois State Police or Department of Corrections on how to defend themselves if necessary. Black also says there's a shortage of foster families to take in children that DCFS removes from the home. Environmental groups in Illinois are once again pushing for legislation that would ban the incineration of toxic chemicals known as PFAS. Eric Schmid reports Governor J.B. Pritzker vetoed a nearly identical bill last year.
Pritzker rejected the legislation despite it clearing both the House and Senate with zero opposition. The governor said he disagreed with the bill's definition of incineration, which included methods that some PFAS manufacturers in the state say would limit their ability to control pollution. Sonia Lunder is Sierra Club's senior toxics policy advisor and helped formulate the initial bill.
There were just a lot of last-minute, behind-the-scenes conversations and attempts to weaken the bill, and it didn't get through the process in time during the veto session.
Lunder says environmental groups are starting fresh this year, but using the same language they already worked out during last year's veto session. She says a ban on burning PFAS is important since it's not clear that incineration can completely break down the toxic chemicals. I'm Eric Schmid.
Five more Champaign County residents have died of COVID-19. Officials say they're a woman in her 40s, a woman in her 60s, a man in his 60s, and two men in their 70s. The county's death toll has reached 250. Public health officials reported more than 700 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases in the county rose slightly to more than 2,600. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 143 people hospitalized with COVID-19, down by three from yesterday and down by nine from a week ago. 16 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll learn more about how the definition of the word rural has lasting consequences for small towns across the country. That story from Jonathan All is next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The federal government uses scores of programs to give tens of billions of dollars a year to help rural America. But the USDA alone has more than a dozen definitions of rural, depending on the program. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports that can leave some very small towns out of the process.
Houston, Missouri is in the Ozarks, not far from the Arkansas border. It's a town of about 2,500, with a claim to fame of being the hometown of famous clown Emmett Kelly and an annual festival named in his memory. Houston City Administrator Scott Avery was looking for ways to bring high-speed internet to town.
There's a federal grant that I was looking at with the broadband. There's a ton of federal grants. One of them defines rural as more than 100 miles from a metro area. Well, I'm less than 100 air miles from Springfield, so I don't qualify.
The Springfield, Missouri metro area has about 500,000 people. It's an hour and 40-minute drive from Houston on two-lane roads, but only 90 miles as the crow flies. So for that grant, this small town with a quarter of its residents under the poverty line wasn't rural enough. About an hour north in Rolla, Missouri, it's a different story.
I'm on the pedestrian overpass above Interstate 44 at one of the four exits into Rolla. Right ahead of me is Phelps Health. It's a big hospital with its own cancer center. Off to the left, Missouri S&T. It's a high-tech research institution with 6,000 students. But this town of 20,000, it's more than 100 miles away from Springfield and St. Louis. So according to that broadband grant, this is rural.
When I look at the city of Rolla, I don't think it meets the definition, any of the definitions, of rural.
Lou Magnitz is the mayor of Rolla. He spends a lot of time telling people about Rolla's big city-like amenities, its airport, numerous manufacturing plants, and high-tech sector. And while his city didn't apply for that particular broadband grant that Houston was shut out of, Magnitz doesn't shy away from grants intended to help small towns.
If a grant come down and it was tied to rural, I would probably self-justify it and by saying, you know, look, the Rolla and its periphery probably could meet that definition.
The definition of rural can take into account population, population density, distance from a big city, and even the percentage of people that travel into a metro area to work. But there's no single definition. That's what has some towns and counties frustrated. Having all those definitions isn't all bad, according to some rural advocates. Bonnie Prigge heads the Merrimack Regional Planning Commission, which works with eight counties in Missouri the commission calls rural. She says the multiple definitions can be frustrating, but if there was only one, some places would be cut out all the time.
You know, right now, with the different definitions, there might be other grants that we could look at that they could qualify for. And if we had one single definition, then there may not be a grant to address that issue.
That's cold comfort for Scott Avery. While he does apply for and gets grants targeted for rural America, he and his staff of two don't have the time to chase after opportunities, only to find his rural town isn't rural enough.
When we're looking at these communities and we're comparing them, one size doesn't fit all is true, but at the same time, why can't we make sure the systems are working everywhere?
Avery says instead of treating rural America as a place that can be defined by mileage and population rules, it should be defined by the communities that have similar problems and need help. That's the approach Ann Morrison-Smith takes. She works for the Missouri Department of Economic Development and says helping rural areas would be easier if they aren't treated like a monolith.
We find the fingerprint of each community and how it works and conducts itself to be so unique to itself. And our communities take such pride in that.
But changing the structure of economic development won't be easy, and neither will clarifying the definitions of what's rural and what's not. Former Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue said he wanted a standard definition of rural in the 2018 Farm Bill, but that didn't make the final version. And that's just one federal agency with numerous definitions of what's small and remote enough to be called rural. Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies today, with temperatures falling into the 20s by this afternoon. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Susie Ahn, Eric Schmid, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.